I cannot imagine that if anyone listens to the news or reads a newspaper or news magazine over the last several weeks that you're not aware of a lot of problems that have arisen because of a certain company, certain thing called Facebook. All right, truth time. How many people are on Facebook? Okay, good. That's not an ad, by the way. Just want to see if you understand what I'm getting at. Because, you see, the trouble is that in getting on to Facebook, they ask for all kinds of information, and that information has now been disseminated to people who probably don't deserve it. At least they didn't tell us they were doing that, and that's part of the problem. But that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about what Facebook is and how it started. Oh, I'm not going to give you a business and analysis of the company, but the concept that's behind it. You see, because Facebook is little more, as they say, than a social network. It's a network. That's what I want you to focus on, the network. Now, before Facebook came along and we had the adjective social attached to that word network, you said network, we thought of television stations and radio stations, that sort of thing. And they were indeed networks because once you joined the group, you were tied together by certain agreements. And being tied together by certain agreements and paying certain fees and so on, you got certain programs that you could push out and, of course, then sell advertising and do all of that. So we're familiar with networks. Some of us may not be too familiar with this notion of a social network, but in fact, we've been doing that for a long time as well. All of us as families, we call each other, we talk to each other. Some of us used to write letters to each other. We send cards, we do that sort of thing. We try to strengthen the relationship between various members of our family, and in so doing, what we are doing is creating and deepening a network. And I use that example because essentially that's what Jesus is talking about in today's gospel lesson. Now, I don't recall hearing Facebook in the gospel lesson, nor the word social networking. Instead, Jesus uses an image that would have been very familiar with his hearers, the people who would have been within earshot of what he was teaching in his day. Now, some of us enjoy working out in the yard, working in our gardens. If you've ever had an aggressive vine, you know that somehow it's hard to get rid of them. You can pull on the leaves and on the branches, and they just keep popping back. I have dug up one that I want to get rid of I don't know how many times in the 16 years that we've lived in this particular house, and for 16 years, it keeps coming back. It's a solid vine. The roots probably are so deep, I'd have to dig a very deep hole in order to get rid of all of them, and if one little piece remains, it will come back, maybe not this year, but the next. And they also have a characteristic tendency, too. They sort of have these tentacles, and they reach out, and they go into all kinds of places, especially the places you don't want them. So when Jesus is talking about a vine, he's talking about a grapevine, of course. He's not talking about a sort of weed vine. But that's what vines do. Now, very few of us raise grapes. Some might. Some of us who like to make our own wine or something like that, yeah, okay. Or we have other kinds of vines as well, berries. And you know, so vines have a certain characteristic. And I would say that vines and networks have the same characteristic. You join a network, yeah, but once you're in, you're in. Try to get out. Try to get out of your family. Some of us try. Never successful. Really. Try to get the vine pulled out of the garden. But it's always coming back. It's always there. That's what Jesus is talking about. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Maybe if Jesus was talking today's society, he might say something like, I am the Facebook platform. You are the consumer. Yeah, Facebook. What does Facebook do? You know, when I heard all this stuff about all these nasty things going on, my first inclination was like the weed vine in the garden. I wanted to rip it out and throw it away. I wanted to get off of it entirely. But then I realized that, well, what has been happening along the way? For the number of years that I've been in this social network, I now use this to keep in touch with my family. Some of you may know or remember that I'm not from this area. I'm originally from Western New York. Grew up mostly between Buffalo and Rochester, and most of my adult life in Buffalo, and that's where most of my family that remains is. Now, it's about 5.5 hours away from my house in Harrisburg to get back to Buffalo, so it doesn't happen very often. So face-to-face communication isn't the easiest thing, but it's really easy to put something on Facebook, and all of my family sees all that I put there. Could be a problem. No, that's not. But it is one thing that keeps me connected to my family. Another thing about it, is that it also enabled me to connect with people I hadn't talked to in years. I've reestablished friendships and communication with people that I was close to, that I went to college with more than umpteen years ago, and now lost touch with them, but through Facebook, I'm able to talk to them again, and we're able to share things. We're able to reestablish a friendship and a relationship. And news travels as well. Not all fake news either. For example, just the other day, a few weeks ago actually, I learned of the death of my favorite professor at college. Dr. Lindley was something like 93 years old, so, you know, it was expected. But it was good for me to hear that and to see all of the praise that was heaped upon her. She was quite a force to be reckoned with, I have to tell you. And I felt sad, but I felt good that I knew this happened. And so it was the network that brought that news to me. So I was able to deal with some of my inner feelings because of this news came to me on this network. So maybe, just maybe, it's not so easy simply to, because something bad happened, we sort of jettison the whole thing and throw it away. It's hard. It's hard to pull out of it. Maybe that's what Jesus is getting at too. I am the vine. You are the branches. I am the network. You are the tentacles that reach out from that central network. I am the one that brings life. You are the one who bears fruit. Starting to make sense? Suddenly now, we begin to understand. But we have to ask another question. That's a good image. I like that. We'll put that one away. That's a good chestnut. We'll put that in the file. But what I want you really to focus on today is not so much the network, but what actually flows through that network. That's the key. Because we can have good and bad, can't we? We can have networks for good and networks for bad. And what I'd like to propose to you today is that what is really being talked about by Jesus is what is talked about by St. John in that first lesson, or that second lesson. The first letter of John. When he says that really the whole thing is about love. Oh, there he goes again. Love, love, love. Well, what kind of love are we talking about here? You know, that's the problem with the English language. It's a wonderful language because it's fairly straightforward. But sometimes we use words in such a broad way that you can say a word and if there are 7 people in the room, there are 8 understandings of what love is. But I would suggest to you today, and I would recommend to you very highly, that you look into a book. It's a little monograph, not very long, by C.S. Lewis, a great Christian author, an Anglican from Cambridge in England. And don't worry, it's not a really technical and highfalutin book. Actually, it's quite a simple book. It's called The Four Loves. And C.S. Lewis, in this book, describes for us what love might be. He parses it out, and he uses four examples. And he uses those four examples because he uses four words that are used in Holy Scripture that are translated in our Bibles as love. The first one is kind of in plain English called affection. Now, we just got through Easter week. We spent all of Lent talking to you about these little round things, or sort of oblong things. They're filled with peanut butter, and coconut cream, and salted caramels, and all that sort of thing. And they were covered with chocolate. I can tell you, without shame, I love chocolate. Now, is that the kind of love St. John is talking about? I don't think so. I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about either. But it's that affection for things that are important to us, things that make us feel good. I love chocolate in any form, in any place. Whether it's eggs at Easter, or it's cake, or it's ice cream, or whatever. Ask what flavor I want. If chocolate's on the menu, that's what I'll have. I love chocolate. And I think I'm not alone in that love. The second love he talks about is a different kind of love. The word that he's using in Holy Scripture is the word to love. The Greek word is philein. And if you take that word and you figure it out, you will have heard it in English a lot. Things like philanthropy, the lover of human beings. Philosophy, the lover of wisdom. Philology, the lover of words. So it's loving something out there. But philein is the kind of thing, it's not so much a love, that's affection if you just love words or you love something out there. The difference is that it's something that many people can love at the same time. And they come together based on that love. So you see, there's an object out there and I love that thing. Let's say I am a lover of antique cars. And I say, oh, I have a 57 Chevy that you would love. And all of a sudden, yeah, I love those. And all of a sudden, we start talking about that. And then somebody else hears us talking about that, and they say, oh, I got a 39 Packard. You got to see this. And all of a sudden, they start this conversation, and this conversation begins to grow and grow and grow. That's what that word philein is about. It's about having a common thing in front of us, and that we together begin to develop a relationship based on that thing. It's a company, it's a club, as it were. Now, many of us may still belong, even though it's less and less likely, but to service clubs, Rotary, Lions, those kinds of things, at least you see the signs there. It's all because, you know, we have a certain thing that we want to do. And I'll tell you, I go to Rotary most Tuesdays for lunch, and the conversation isn't usually about the thing that we have in common, it's about each other. But it was that thing that brought us together. You see, maybe Jesus is talking about that kind of love, because basically that thing for us in the church is none other than Jesus Christ. But is that it? Is that the kind of love that St. John is talking about? I think not. As good as that is, it's not enough. There's another love that Lewis talks about. It's a different kind of love. It says eros, the word that comes from erotic, which has something to do with sexuality and so on. And so the whole thing is that we find a deep love in our life, and Lewis describes it as the love between a husband and a wife. Now, the reason why that's important is because, you see, he also uses how we occupy our space about these things. He says, you know, when you're doing the philanthropy or the philane, the loving together, this friendship that emerges out of this thing, this club, you're standing side by side. And actually, the more people that join your circle, the better it gets, because there's more variety, more diversity, there's more to learn. It deepens your relationship. If you are engaged in eros, you stand not side by side, but facing one another. And if another individual gets in the way, if another individual joins that group, it destroys the love that is there. Because it shields one or another from the genuine love that is given. Is that the love that St. John is talking about? I don't think so. There's a fourth love that Lewis describes. And it's a love, I just want to point something out. In your bulletin, in that little introduction that's in front of every lesson, in the second lesson today, you might say this, there's a word in there that says, it looks like agape. You're like, that doesn't make any sense in the sentence, and it doesn't, because the word is not agape, it's agape. Agape, it's Greek. And unfortunately, the little diacritical marks got left out in our English language, and so we didn't know how to put them in the bulletin. But there it is, agape. That perhaps is where we're going with all of this, because another word that is used for that is caritas, or charity. And what is it we sing on Monday, Thursday, where charity and love prevail? There, God is found. And if we go to the Greek in which St. John was writing, this is the word he uses, agape. It is the highest form of love, because it is the kind of love that God shows for God's creation. It's the kind of love that God shows to you and me. It's the kind of love that God proved to us by giving his Son, who died on the cross for our sins. It is the kind of love that raised Jesus from the dead so that we could share this life and this love. It is totally selfless. It seeks not anything for itself or the person who offers it. This is the kind of love that God has for us. It is the kind of love that is clear in the life of Jesus. It is the kind of love to which God calls all of us. And that's what courses through the vine. That's what brings together the network. That's what sustains its life. It's that kind of love. And where do we experience that love, my brothers and sisters? But here, in this community, in the community of disciples, we begin by seeing something we have in common. We begin by saying, I love God, and then we say, well, because we have Jesus Christ in common, we come and we stand shoulder to shoulder and we sing praises. But then, God then begins to love us in a higher form, a deeper form, a unique form, like eros, and then beyond that, then gives up his very self so that we would know deeply and absolutely how God loves us. So now it begins to make sense. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, apart from the love and grace that flows from my life, from the through the vine, the branches are useless. They're good for nothing but to be cut off and thrown into the fire, because they're wasteful. The fruit that you bear, the fruit is nothing less than the life of the Spirit in which we live. It is the fruits of the Spirit, joy, peace, patience, temperance, all of those things that are listed in Holy Scripture. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, courage, those that are listed in Holy Scripture. These are the things that fill our lives, or they should, if we are connected deeply to the network. If we are connected deeply to Jesus Christ, if we remain in Christ, if we abide, if we live in Christ, then those things will be in our lives. And if they are in our lives, then we know that we are connected to the very divine presence, to the very thing that created the universe. And our world is waiting to hear about it. We were kids, we sang this song, "Oh, they'll know we are Christians by our love." You know, remember that one? We can get a guitar. Well, some of us are older, we remember that sort of thing. So, you know, we could sing that, but singing it doesn't mean a blasted thing. You have to do it. Love is not something about which we speak. It is something we live. And that's what Jesus is saying. That image of the vine and the branches. That image of Facebook, of all things, keeps us connected. Connected to nothing less than the Savior of the world. Keeps us connected to nothing less than the creative power of God. Keeps us connected to nothing less than God's Holy Spirit. That's how we live. So, when St. James talks about God is love, it's agape, he's saying. God is so giving that God wants nothing in return. Nothing. There's no condition on God's love. And who, accepting that, cannot give that kind of love in return? To be able to give up everything, lay down one's life, Jesus says, even for his friends. For God has done this already for us. And it is in this that we will obtain unto eternal life. So, brothers and sisters, next time we want to give up our networks, don't forget the church, not the building, the church, the people. We are a social network. We are vines and branches. And God is using us to bear fruit in the world, to change and transform the world. When we look out there and we say, "Oh, it's a horrible place," well, fear not, for God has something for you to do. And it's nothing less than to abide, to live in God's love. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, in him. Sing with me. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. God is love, and he who abides in God abides in love, and God in him.